produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Hello, everyone. This is Richard Floyd with Power Up Your Family. It is great to be back with you once again, and needless to say, what an amazing week or so we've had with all kinds of crazy things going on in the world. You know, we've seen with the weather conditions, the Southwest and the Southeast and other parts of the country were hit with a crazy series of snowstorms and ice storms over the last couple of weeks, and the consequence of that was that there was great distress and calamity, if you will, that affected millions of people. We saw in the state of Texas where with the snow and ice, their energy grid got greatly reduced in its capacity to produce electricity. And as a consequence, there were millions of people without electricity for many, many days. And, you know, with a home with no electricity, with sub-freezing temperatures, pipes began to break, flooding occurred, people were very cold, people died, people were running short on food, the water supply became limited, even in our own area of Memphis, Tennessee, because of the temperatures. Many of the water lines in the city water system burst. And because of that, the water pressure dropped dramatically. And unfortunately, there was some contaminants that entered into the water supply. So for many, many days, the city of Memphis water supply was at a point where instructions were being given by the city water company to boil your water if you're going to use it for any personal consumption, brushing your teeth, bathing in it, or using it in food preparation or drinking. Well, needless to say, that was a great inconvenience. Now, fortunately for the Memphis area, there were not a lot of power outages, so being able to boil your water was not a big issue. But the problem was when the water lines, so many of them froze and sprung leaks, the water pressure went down and many places were affected with not being able to even get water, let alone being able to boil it. And so we saw a big run on the grocery stores for bottled water, the convenience stores, the box stores. And before you know it, there was no bottled water to be had in the city of Memphis. Now, fortunately, we live in a community that has a separate water system. And so therefore, we were not affected by this. We didn't lose our power. We didn't lose our water supply. But it reminded us of the fact that being prepared for life's challenges is an important thing for us to be mindful of. As a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, we joined the church in 1975, and early on we were made aware of the counsel that had been given by our leaders for many, many years prior to that, continuing all the way up to the present, that we should be prepared. Prepared not only spiritually, but be prepared temporally. Now, what was some of the counsel we've received over these years? Well, to have a supply of food. At one time, we were encouraged to have as much as a year's supply of food. In more recent years, that number has been reduced to just give people the essentials to maybe have a 3-month supply of food and water and other essential supplies. Now, who doesn't remember last year at the beginning of the pandemic when the shelves were emptied of toilet paper, paper towels, tissue paper, anything that was paper that could be used as a consumable left the shelves rapidly. And we had a shortage of toilet paper for quite a while. Now, who has a year's supply of toilet paper? Well, let's just say many people, once toilet paper became available, started stocking up on it. And I kind of laughed at the time because it seemed like there were people that probably had a year's supply of toilet paper. Not that it was necessary, but obviously some people certainly had a large inventory. But I noticed in this recent weather storm situation, once again, the shelves were being emptied, not only bottled water, but the meat counters were empty. The milk was department was empty. The bread shelves were empty. And so obviously when panic conditions occur, people begin to get panicky and they'll do all kinds of things to try to prepare at the last minute. So I'd like to talk about the theme of a quote from scripture that says, "If ye are prepared, ye shall not fear." Let me repeat that. If ye are prepared, ye shall not fear. Panic is driven by fear, and fear is driven by lack of preparation. And so let me take some time with you on this particular program to talk about some of the things that we need to be mindful of and how we go about being prepared. Now, we could have an entire segment about being spiritually prepared, but tonight in this program, I want to talk about being temporally prepared. So we need to talk about some basic things in terms of how are we doing. Let's do a little inventory. For example, how wise of a steward are we with our money? Do we spend less than we earn? Do we avoid unnecessary debt? Do we follow the counsel that has been given, the common sense to store sufficient food, clothing, and where possible, fuel for an extended period of time? Do we teach our children to value and not waste what they have? Do we teach them to work? Do they understand the importance of the sacred law of tithing? Do we have sufficient education and adequate employment? And for those who live by a principle known as the Word of Wisdom, do we maintain good health by living the Word of Wisdom? And therefore, are we free from the adverse effects of harmful substances? So, what are we dealing with in our society today? Well, one of the evils today that we deal with is the sin of covetousness. If you will, the inordinate desire for material possessions can become an obsession that consumes our thoughts, drains our resources, and leads to unhappiness. Many, unfortunately, are burdened with unnecessary debt because of this sin. A past president of the church, President Heber J. Grant, said, "If there is any one thing that will bring peace and contentment into the human heart, and into the family, it is to live within our means. And if there is any one thing that is grinding and discouraging and disheartening, it is to have debts and obligations that one cannot meet." Another president of the church, Thomas S. Monson, said, "Industry, thrift, self-reliance continue as guiding principles of this effort. As a people, we should avoid unreasonable debt. Pay thy debt and live," 2 Kings 4:7. Great counsel. Next, from the beginning, God has commanded us to work and has warned against idleness. Sadly, many in our world today encourage idleness, especially in the form of mindless, inane entertainment that is on the internet, on television, and in computer games. Next, we've received counsel, quote, get all the education you can, cultivate skills of mind and hands. Education is the key to opportunity. Yes, education is the catalyst that will hone and sharpen your talents, skills, and abilities and cause them to bloom. Additionally, those who choose to follow the example of the Savior and relieve suffering could look to the amount they contribute to fast offerings. Now, as a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, we pay an honest tithe. We are encouraged to do so. But we also believe in the scripture in Malachi where it talks about our tithes and offerings. Now, the fast offering is a very interesting way in which the Lord has provided the resources for those who are poor and needy to be able to receive assistance. As members of the church, we are encouraged, typically on the first Sunday of each month, we have as our worship service what we call a fast and testimony meeting, where we partake of the sacrament, and after which we're given the opportunity to stand and bear our testimonies of Jesus Christ. We come to that meeting in the spirit of fasting. Typically, we will have fasted for two meals prior to that meeting, or some will go as much as 24 hours without eating food or possible drink in the spirit of fasting. Fasting coupled with prayer to provide spiritual insight and blessings. Now, what's interesting is we then take the monies that we would have spent for those meals and we donate those funds to what's called the fast offering. Now, in the church, fast offerings are used to provide assistance to those who are in need. Now, the principle of welfare assistance is viewed in a rather interesting perspective as Latter-day Saints. We believe that we should be prepared, but if we are unable to be prepared due to whatever circumstance, we can rely not only on ourselves, but we can call upon our family. And if all else fails, the church has a system that provides the opportunity for assistance. Having served as a bishop of our church, it was my responsibility during a period of about 6.5 years to administer the welfare funds of our church. And during that time, as I would meet with individuals, we would review their finances, their resources, and their obligations, and determine what their needs might be, and where the resources of their own or from family members were not adequate to provide the necessary assistance, the church was in a position, through the fast offering donations, to provide that assistance. That assistance might include the payment of rent or mortgage payment, for food or utilities, and other essentials, maybe such as medications and the like. Now, some would say, well, is that like a welfare system, a free dole? Well, it was the expectation that everyone receiving that assistance would be given opportunities over a period of time to provide service and to assist others when and where they were able. Not a work and earn your keep, so to speak, but the opportunity to not pay back necessarily in terms of actual monetary reimbursement, but through our service to be able to repay for the assistance rendered, to serve others and to be of help. Now, as having been through that process of serving as a bishop and providing assistance to those in need, it became very apparent that the lack of planning and the lack of discipline was inherent in the circumstance of many individuals that were dealing with financial problems. Also, addictive behavior seemed to be a recurring issue where funds were being spent for addictive substances that were not beneficial to them individually and certainly not to the benefit of the family's finances. So, if we are prepared, we shall not fear. Now, in the Book of Mormon, there's a great story about the prophet Lehi, who has this marvelous dream. We call it Lehi's dream. And it's a dream where he journeyed with his family into the wilderness. And in this dream or vision was depicted the tree of life. Symbolically presented, provides us with much knowledge about life and the course we should follow. And in the Book of Mormon, in 1 Nephi in chapter 8, it talks about this dream that Lehi had. And toward the end of that description in the scripture, it talks about this great and spacious building where the people were mocking those who were going toward the tree of life. And many, and this is a quote from the first Nephi, it says, "And after they had tasted of the fruit, they were ashamed because of those that were scoffing at them. And they fell away into forbidden paths and were lost." One of the general authorities of our church, a former member of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles, before he departed from us, Elder L. Tom Perry, shared in a talk given in the April 1995 General Conference, a talk called, "If Ye Are Prepared, Ye Shall Not Fear." And alluding to that portion of Lehi's dream, he says, "In this part of Lehi's dream, I would like to comment on today. The current cries we hear coming from the great and spacious building tempt us to compete for ownership in the things of this world. We think we need a larger home with a 3-car garage, a recreational vehicle parked next to it. We long for designer clothes, extra TV sets, all with VCRs, and the latest model computers, and the newest car. Often these items are purchased with borrowed money, without giving any thought to providing for our future needs. The result of all this instant gratification is overloaded bankruptcy courts and families that are far too preoccupied with their financial burdens." He goes on to say, "We live in a most exciting and challenging period in human history. As technology sweeps through every facet of our lives, changes are occurring so rapidly it can be difficult for us to keep our lives in balance. To maintain some semblance of stability in our lives, it is essential that we plan for our future." Elder Perry says, "I believe it is time, and perhaps with some urgency, to review the counsel we have received in dealing with our personal and family preparedness. We want to be found with our oil, to be found with oil in our lamps, sufficient to endure to the end." The former president of the church, President Spencer W. Kimball, admonished, quote, "In reviewing the Lord's counsel to us on the importance of preparedness, I am impressed with the plainness of the message. The Savior made it clear that we cannot place sufficient oil in our preparedness lamps by simply avoiding evil. We must also be anxiously engaged in a positive program of preparation," close quote. President Kimball went on to say, quote, "The Lord will not translate one's good hopes and desires and intentions into works. Each of us must do that for himself," close quote. Elder Perry goes on to say, "On a daily basis, we witness widely fluctuating inflation." Now, that's been over the years, and I think we're about to see that hit us once again. "Wars, interpersonal conflicts, national disasters, variances in weather conditions, innumerable forces of immorality, crime and violence, attacks and pressures on the family and individuals, technological advances that make occupations obsolete, and so on. The need for preparation is abundantly clear. The great blessing of being prepared gives us freedom from fear, as guaranteed to us by the Lord in the Doctrine and Covenants. Quote, if ye are prepared, ye shall not fear. Just as it is important to prepare ourselves spiritually, we must also prepare ourselves for temporal needs. Each of us needs to take the time to ask ourselves, What preparation should I make to care for my needs and the needs of my family? We have been instructed for years to follow at least four requirements in preparing for that which is to come. First, gain an adequate education. Learn a trade or a profession to enable you to obtain steady employment that will provide remuneration sufficient to care for yourself and your family. The rapidly changing world breeds obsolescence and requires us to be continually engaged in preparing ourselves for the future. We can become antiquated in our professions if we do not stay up to date. Imagine how many patients a dentist would have if he continued to use the same tools and techniques he used a decade ago. What about a businessman that tried to compete without the use of computers? Or a builder who had not stayed abreast of the latest materials and methods available? Education has, of necessity, become a lifelong pursuit. We must, in our scheduling of time, allocate sufficient time to educate ourselves for now and for the future. Second, live strictly within your income and save something for a rainy day. Incorporate in your lives the discipline of budgeting that which the Lord has blessed you with. As regularly as you pay your tithing, set aside an amount needed for future family requirements. Include your children while planning for the future. Elder Perry says, I am convinced that in many backyards, a crop of corn, raspberries, or tomatoes planted and harvested by your children each year and sold to your neighbors will in time yield enough to make a major contribution to a mission or a college education fund. Go out in your garages and look over the unused bicycles, toy cars, athletic equipment, skis, rollerblades, etc., and calculate what the return would have been had the cost of these items been invested in future needs. Remember, I emphasized unused articles. How many of you have seen garages so full of things that there is no longer room for a car? Third, avoid excessive debt. Necessary debt should be incurred only after careful, thoughtful, prayerful consideration and after obtaining the best possible advice. We need the discipline to stay well within our ability to pay. Wisely, we have been counseled to avoid debt as we would avoid the plague. President J. Reuben Clark fearlessly and repeatedly counseled members of the church to take action. He said, quote, live within your means, get out of debt, keep out of debt, lay by for a rainy day, which has always come and will come again. Practice and increase your habits of thrift, industry, economy, and frugality. Close quote. We should have that statement displayed prominently in our homes. President Clark goes on to describe interest or usury. Quote, interest never sleeps, nor sickens, nor dies. Once in debt, interest is your companion every minute of the day and night. You cannot shun it or slip away from it. You cannot dismiss it. It yields neither to entreaties, demands, or orders. And whenever you get in its way or cross its course or fail to meet its demands, it crushes you. Close quote. Elder Perry goes on to say, incurrence of debt is such an enticement. Accompanying the ease with which we can obtain debt should be the great caution of avoidance. Take the opportunity to compute how much you would add to your personal net worth. For example, if your home mortgage was only for 10 or 15 years instead of 30, compute the value of sweat equity of your time and talents if they were invested in adding to the size and comfort of your home. It is so easy to allow consumer debt to get out of hand. If you do not have the discipline to control the use of credit cards, it is better not to have them. A well-managed family does not pay interest, it earns it. Elder Perry says, the definition I received from a wise boss at one time in my early business career was, quote, them that understand interest receives it, them that don't pays it, close quote. And last, acquire and store a reserve of food and supplies that will sustain life. Obtain clothing and build a savings account on a sensible, well-planned basis that can serve well in times of emergency. He says, as long as I can remember, we have been taught to prepare for the future and to obtain a supply of food, a year's supply of necessities. I would guess that the years of plenty have almost universally caused us to set aside this counsel. He said, I believe the time to disregard this counsel is over. With events in the world, it must be considered with all seriousness. I remember this talk was given in 1995, and it's just even more true today. He goes on to say, careers are ever-changing. They tell me that young people entering the workforce today will have major career changes, maybe three or four times during their work life. Job changes will occur even more frequently, even 10 to 12 times during a life's work cycle. I know of no other way to prepare for these times of adjustment than to be certain that during times of employment, preparations are made for less prosperous times should they occur. Start now to create a plan if you don't already have one, or update your present plan. Watch for the best buys that will fit into your year's supply. We are not in a situation that requires panic buying, but we do need to be careful in purchasing and rotating the storage that we're putting away. The instability in the world today makes it imperative that we take heed of the counsel and prepare for the future. Another leader of our church, President Harold B. Lee, said regarding Lehi's great vision, quote, if there is any one thing most needed in this time of tumult and frustration, when men and women and youth and young adults are desperately seeking for answers to the problems which afflict mankind, it is an iron rod as a safe guide along the straight path on the way to eternity. Amidst the strange and devious roadways that would eventually lead to destruction and to the ruin of all that is virtuous, lovely, of good report, close quote. Unfortunately, there are too many of us that are like the scoffers in Lehi's vision. They stand aloof and are inclined to hold in derision the faith who have chosen to accept church authorities as God's special witnesses of the gospel and as agents in directing the affairs of the church. Elder Perry says, my sincere counsel to you today is to remember the good basic principles we have been taught from the very beginning. Principles of thrift, industry, and integrity that have served mankind in every period of time. Avoid the great and spacious building that is the pride of the world, or it will fall, and great will be the fall thereof. He concludes by saying, may God bless us with the wisdom to follow the counsel we have received as we prepare spiritually and temporally for the strength and security of our family units. It is my humble prayer in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Elder Perry, great, great counsel, great wisdom shared by him in that conference talk. So if ye are prepared, ye shall not fear. Those are words that we should be ever mindful of. It is imperative that we prepare. We take time to plan, to organize, to avoid those things that will cause us to not be prepared. You know, fresh courage take is a phrase in one of our hymns. And so courage is certainly a key element in persevering through adversity and difficult times. And so it is my prayer and my hope that each of us will have the courage and the discipline to follow the advice given by the Lord's anointed, that we might be prepared, and therefore we shall not fear. It is my hope and prayer. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.